Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, you're already here. Hallelujah, you're already here. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're here. The voice.
Give God the praises. We could give him the honor
and the things that do to him. We could magnify his name. We could give him all the glory that is due, because if it wasn't for the Lord on our side, Lord, I don't know. Let me just speak for myself. I don't know where I would be, because it took the Lord to bring me out of Lodabar. It took the Lord to bring me out of miry clay. It took the Lord to establish my feet solid on a rock that he built on. It took the Lord to wake me up this morning. It took the Lord to get me out of circumstances and situations that I put myself in. So my anticipation right now is to do what God has for me to do and be able to do his will. So my anticipation, once again, is I'm waiting on God to give me my assignment. What is your will for me today? So I'm anticipating that God will give me something to do today. He has an assignment for me today. See, it ain't about me. I'm going somewhere with this here. I'm going to pray, but I'm going somewhere with this. See, because when you realize your intellect, your skills, your knowledge, none of that had anything to do with it, it was the Lord and only God himself that brought you to a place where it had you in now, that you look better than you looked before. Some of us can just look back, not only a few years, but a few months. You ain't know where you were going or coming. Some, a few days. And you tried everything, and it didn't work. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let me just get into prayer. Oh, glory to God up in here this morning. Because when I look at the goodness of the Lord, it does something to me. I just can't take a casual approach. I can't just be so casual today serving Lord. And I know we all say we all got our personal relationship with God. But what is that relationship? If it's one of those casual, is it one that's sold out to God? See, the people can look at you and look at the fruit that you're bearing to know whether you in God or not. Tosu. Oh, hallelujah up in here. Somebody ain't going to like me this morning. Let me just pray. Oh, gracious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we watch and anticipate the move of you, we realize one thing, God, that you already here. And if you was not here, we don't know where we would be at today. So we just say thank you, God. Thank you for allowing us to get it right, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come to the throne of grace, bold and courageous, and ask for forgiveness, Father, not only for today, but for all our sins, Father, and ask you to blot them out. Blot out all our iniquities and all our transgressions. Clean us, Father, creating us a new heart and a right spirit. Right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, order our steps, Father, in your word, as we lead not to our own understanding, but Lord, in all our ways we acknowledge you. So we give you all the honor and the praise. Oh, Father, we just magnify your name. We give you all the glory because you're a wonderful and awesome God, Father. So you are not only you our creator, but you also are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer in the time of affliction, in the time that the hearts are broken. Oh, Father, you blend them together, Father, and only that you are Jehovah Rapha. You take care of us, Father. You are our healer, Lord. You are Jehovah Nisi, Father. You are Jehovah Shalom, Father. Father, you are Jehovah God. You are our everything. Oh, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have already done. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, this is our prayer. Amen. As I said so many times, time again, we also like you to continue to send in the many prayer requests that we have gotten in from from our Facebook page, Uptalk Group Christian Ministry, and also from our website, uptalkministry.org. We thank you all, and we continue to intercede and pray for those who sent in and those who have not sent in. We still will be praying each and every day. All right now, we just say thank you, God, for what you have done. See, God has moved in our life where we want to realize or not in a mighty way. We have lost some stuff. We've been cut off from some stuff. But at the end of the day, when we look at it, we're still here. Oh, good God Almighty. And we're here because we're designed and purposed to be here. Once we know how significant purpose we are, then we can understand our walk and our life in Christ Jesus. I'm talking to somebody this morning. I'm trying to get to a point. I'm not trying to get so ahead of myself in this lesson. Also, we always ask you to send in your many engagements that you all have done. Well, I thank you all, and I have had a time in this first, this year going all over the Southeast doing what God had for me. Anything else that you want to request, anything, or sow into the ministry, send it to Uptop Group Christian Ministry, 3327 15 Court North, Birmingham, Alabama, 35234. Let me just get into today's lesson. We started this series on yesterday, and we had a little problem with our logging in on our network broadcast on the radio. But we go into part two of the series, The Necessary Power for Fulfilling God's Plan is His Holy Spirit. And today we're going to deal with, just for a little while, the Holy Spirit. Good God Almighty. See, when we look at things, right, I want to just, let me bring you those who have just signed in and listened in today. We end this with, so we can flow right into this here, that the point is that God's plan is no longer to be bought up with the Jews. In other words, this where Peter and Paul and Barnabas did not understand the Lyconian dialogue, right? Dialect. They could only preach to the people in Greece, almost everyone understood this language at the time. They was only able to go so far with this. But God's plan is no longer to be bought up with the Jews, with us. His good news is for all the nations, as John proclaiming in the book of Revelation 5 and 9. Jesus purchased from God with his blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We cannot rest until all the nations have heard the good news about Christ. But how can we possibly fulfill God's plan? Sanctified people, children of God, men and women of God, those of you laboring in ministry, those of you are leaders in ministry, those of you are part of ministry, and those of you are not, and still got one foot in and one foot out, and having a problem right now with the ministry. The power, the necessary power for fulfilling God's plan is His Holy Spirit. In order for you to preach and teach the gospel, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is what draws men and women and children to you with the anointing on it that fire breaks the yoke. It ain't how intellectual you pronounce and how eloquent you speak. It ain't none of that. It ain't how versed and well you. It is the anointing on the word that goes out that make people draw into you. It's nothing about you. It's all about God. So God's plan is no longer to be bought up with you and your congregation. It's for you and your congregation to take the gospel to the nations. Who am I talking to now? See, we got too many saved folks that sit down the pews from sun up to sundown and not going out and being a witness for God. Where are you going with this, Lord? In other words, you're not doing your job. And you want to know why you're going through so many trials and tribulations is because you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Once you become a doer of the word, you'll see things manifest and change in your life. The gospel has to go out. So the Holy Spirit is not just what a force. It is what the third person of the Trinity. That's what most people say. Let me just do it like this. that can be argued with by most of you biblical scholars. So let me just do it like this. God, right, our Father, our Jehovah God, our Creator, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's God with the other characters, the Son, the Holy Ghost, other characteristics of Him that you deal with. Oh, good God, my. Who am I talking to right now here? See, when you look at it, it all, one person. But we do the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it's still one person with different characteristics, has different characteristics and different characters, however you want to say it. He's still God, but you saw Him as the Son, and you saw Him now as the Holy Ghost. And it's still God, the Father, our Heavenly Father. I hope I got that right, but you all can understand where I'm at with this. See, God in every way, we know that He is what? A personal being, and that He can be grieved, according to what? The book of Ephesians, 4 and 30. You cannot grieve an interpersonal for it. Jesus called Him the Paraclete, or what? The Comforter. This word means one called alongside to help. We know that He is God and that He performed deeds such as creation, which only God can do. According to Acts, right, 5 and 3, Peter accused Ananias of lying to the Holy Spirit and then added, "You have not lied to men, but to God." Good God Almighty. See, a lot of times we don't understand. A lot of times we take things and we run with it, but we really don't know the consequences and the circumstances that we're going to face for our action on them, right? Here it is that when we break down this here and we see that Jesus called Himself the Comforter, right, meaning that that alongside to help. In other words, He says so well that I would never leave you or forsake you. So I sent you a Comforter, right, one that will be with you. In other words, He's telling you that I will always be with you. I am your Comforter, and you can always depend on me. And everything that you need, you can always ask me. And I, in return, will ask the Father. And so whatever the Father loose in heaven, you will receive here on earth. Good God Almighty. See, let me just show you something in this thing here. See, Jesus said, I'm going to be here with you. So you're never alone. The things that you're going through, I'm going through with you. So you should praise your way through them because I am still with you going through. So the affliction and the pain and the persecution that you think you're feeling, I have taken away from you. But you have to learn how to get out your natural self and get in the spiritual realm, because once you get in the spiritual realm, it allows you to see the things in the natural and allow the manifestation that God had for you in the spirit to overcome what is coming to you naturally. Somebody shout glory here now. Wow. You're messing me up, Jesus. So, let's look at this. Before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit regenerated men and empowered them for serving God. Y'all hear me? Before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit regenerated men and empowered them for serving God. But He did not permanently indwell all believers. Are y'all listening here? He did not permanently indwell all believers, according to what? Psalm 51 and 11. It says, do not reject me. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Luke, what? 11 and verse 13 says, if you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will their Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In other words, right, let's look at something here. In the upper room, Jesus had told the disciples that He would send the Holy Spirit to be with them forever. He added this to it, like, He said, you know Him because He abides in you and will abide in you. And will be in you, rather. And will be in you. Where I get abide from again? Excuse me. He said, you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. According to John, right, the 14th and the 16th verse. He said, Then I ask the Father, and He will give you another advocator to be with you forever. The 17th say, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He resides with you and will be in you. Good God Almighty. In other words, the world can see and don't know Jesus the way you know Him. So as long as He is abiding with you and in you, you should claim the victory every time that a trial, or tribulation, or anything comes. Not only that, every time you open up your eyes, you should be giving the Lord a praise. Y'all don't like me here. I got to talk about the Holy Spirit. So, got to get this to this point. You all got to get this here. It said, that's the day of the Pentecost. The disciples were baptized, right, with the Holy Spirit, according to what? Acts 5:1-5. In the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. So, in Acts 8, the Spirit was poured out on what? The Samaritan. Through the apostles, so that they and the apostles would realize that they were now members of the same body of Christ. See, the reason why we have so much separation in church, that churches don't want to be filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, so that we'll be one body in Christ. I want to talk about this on my next radio broadcast, too. According to Acts 8. See, the Spirit was poured out on the Samaritan. Through what? Through the apostle. So that both they and the apostle would realize that they were now members of the same body of Christ. See, the problem is we got all these different religious organizations, and we teach against one another. But once we receive the Holy Ghost, it allows us to understand that we are all one body in Christ Jesus. Woo! Somebody shout glory here today. I felt that. Jesus. So it takes more than that. Some of you come there and won't get a man of God an hour. Raising your hand like you got somewhere to go and you're sick in your body. You got problems in your relationship. You got problems in your home. You got problems on your job. You got problems. You got issues yourself, and you have not gotten dealt with them. And so when a man of God is preaching, you raise your hand up after 35 minutes because you got somewhere to go. And when you realize you really have nowhere to go, because the Bible tells you to tarry until He comes. My. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. So. Jesus. The same thing happened with the Gentiles. See, you got to ask yourself, Lord, what are you trying to tell me about myself at this particular time in my life? Well, now I'm getting a lesson, and all of a sudden I thought that it was wrong to go in this church because they were teaching this, that church was teaching that. I was trying to find myself. But I see this thing was way before me. Yes, it was. but that don't still mean that you need to be a partaker in it. How do you get rid of sin is you cut it off and go home. So the same thing happened with Genesis in Acts 10 and with the followers of John, baptism in Ephesians, and in a book, Acts 19, these transitions of outpouring of the Holy Spirit follow the pattern of what? Acts 1 and 8. If you ever get a chance, read Acts 1 and 8. It said, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit had come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth. In other words, right, you will have the power. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you have not received the power, the Holy Spirit, you have no power. You're powerless. I don't care who you are, what title you have, until you receive the Holy Ghost, you're just preaching words. You're an inspired speaker. Wow. One transition was completed. All that believe in Christ receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And you look at Galatians, the third chapter, verse 2 to 5. Paul stated that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him, according to Romans 8 and 9. We need to be careful to distinguish several terms that are often confused. According to Acts 1 and 5, Jesus said to the apostle, who will be baptized by the Holy Spirit, which occurred on the day of the Pentecost? The baptism referenced what? To be the beginning of total identity with the Spirit and the initial reception of the Spirit. I want you all to get this here. Write this down. Because there are a lot of people getting baptized don't understand the baptism. And we need to break this down. We need to very, very, very allow them people to understand. Because they should be expecting something, a move to happen in their life. Because God is expecting something to happen, a move in their life as well. So their expectations should be in the Lord. They should be expecting to come out of darkness. So we need to be careful to distinguish several terms, that are often confused. When we look at the book of Acts, Acts 1 through 5, Jesus said that the apostle would be baptized by what? The Holy Spirit, which occurred on the day of Pentecost, right? Baptism refers to being total identity with the Spirit and to be initially receptive of the Spirit. Paul tells the Corinthians, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or what? Free. And we are all to make the drink of one Spirit, according to what? 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. If baptism of the Spirit were a special evidence, not evidence, experience for what? The spiritual elite. Paul would not have said such a thing to the Corinthians, who were not noted for their spiritual maturity. See, when you look at the New Testament here, now however it commands believers to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, since it is not an experience we are seeking, but God's action performed on the believer at the moment of salvation. On the moment of salvation. We are, however, commanded to be filled with the Spirit, which means to be controlled by the Spirit, according to Ephesians 5 and 18. The disciples on the day of Pentecost were not only baptized with the Spirit, also they were filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 and 4. While the baptism of the Spirit is a one-time event, listen to this, right? While the baptism of the Spirit is a one-time event, being filled with the Spirit happens repeatedly. Good God of mine. See, y'all don't like me here. Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Let me be just as humble as I can, Lord. We have taken interpretations of the word and have misled God's people wholehearted. See, I didn't pick this lesson. The Lord picked this lesson. I had this lesson for 3 weeks and not had said a word about it. Matter of fact, I had deleted it 5 times. So it has a significant importance in it, because a lot of us do think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a one-time event. And it was. But being filled with the Spirit is a repeatedly event, according to what? Acts 4 and 8. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, repeatedly. Ruler of people and elders. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God courageously. The proposal pleased the entire group. So they chose Stephen, a man of faith and of the Holy Spirit, with Philip, Parnassus, Nicanor, Timothy, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a Gentile converted to Judaism from Antioch. See, when you look at this here, you see the move of God. That's all. When I see where God has taken us in ministry, not only in Acts 4 and 8, but in Acts 4 and 31, and then Acts 6 and verse 5, Acts 7 and 55, Acts 9 and 17, those who you like to go and read scripture, Acts 13 and 9, you can go and find this reading about being filled with what? The Holy Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit, we must empty ourselves by confession, all knowing sins, by dying to self. We must yield ourselves fully to be Lord and depending on Him step by step, walking what? In the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and 16. Being filled with the Spirit is also called, in a parallel passage, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And when you look at Colossians 3 and 16 on this, you can also go back to Ephesians 5 and 18 as well and keep it in the proper content. See, thus the filling of the Spirit cannot be what? Listen to this. You got to get this now. Thus the filling of the Spirit cannot be divorced from God's word, being at home in your heart. The results of a conscientious walk, a daily walk in the Spirit, will be the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The manifestation of our life and relationship, Ephesians 5, 19 and Ephesians 5, 6 and 9. Colossians, rather. Serve, you know, fully the Lord and depending on Him step by step. So walking in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and 16, being filled with the Spirit is also called, in the same parallel message, let the word of Christ richly dwell in us. And that's in Colossians what? 3 and 16. I know this stuff. So when we see this, right, the fulfillment, I mean, the filling of the Spirit cannot be what? Divorced from God's word, being at home in your heart, the results of the consensual walk in the Spirit will be fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5 and 22 and 3, the manifestation in our life and relationship in Ephesians 5 and 19, 6 through 9, and Colossians 3 and verse 16 through 41. So the initial outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost was marked by three symbolic pronouns. I'm going to deal with that on tomorrow, because on our next lesson, I don't want to overwhelm you. I want you to be able to understand what we are dealing with now, so it allows us to go into a high move of God when we get through. Because when we look at this here, we have some lessons here that we need to really teach, and we need not play with them. Because one of the things is that, as I said so much before, that you have to empty yourself. Meaning you have to be different. Yeah. Now, I want to get you to see something here. There's something I want you to see right before we close. God's plan was to get us to be filled with the Spirit, right? Which will allow us to go out to nations to preach and teach the gospel. It will allow us to come back home and share the testimony experience that we got from being out, as well as take the testimony experience from home to where we go out to the highways and byways. But we cannot do it if we sit down. We can't. It won't work. So we have to keep on going. We have to come on. See, when the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to leave you with this, came upon the apostles and the other believers on the day of Pentecost, those who heard them speak in tongues were perplexed and asked, what does this mean? And the question persists in our day. When we find people speaking in tongues, we say, oh, what is that they're doing? Many claim that the meaning of Pentecost is that we should have the same experience as disciples named it. We are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this thing, God, look at this real hard, man. When we seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, you have probably had other Christians ask you, as I have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the elevation of speaking in tongues. If you have not spoken in tongues, they are eager to help you have this experience for yourself. We all need to answer biblically in the light of content. What is the meaning of Pentecost? That's where we are. That's where we go. We go there and we share the move of God. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just want to touch and pray for people whose body is up under attack, who is going through some changes, some things that are happening in their finance, in their ministry, in their relationship, even their children. And this is the year of deliverance and rest. And since this is, the attacks is going to be firm on you. And you have to be mindful, be able to see them in the spiritual realm. So right now, God, we ask you to come in right now, all through the airways. And we thank every last and each and every last man and woman, child of God, who has signed in all over the world, and we ask you to bless them, Father. Let them be the vessel that go out and tell and preach the gospel all over the world. Allow them, Father, in the name of Jesus, to talk about the experience they have with Uptown Ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, allow all of us to come on one accord. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. May you all continue to be blessed as God keep you in his bosom, hide you even from yourself, is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Goodbye.